Where should you be today, Randy?
Well, I should be busily working away in Regina, getting ready for the Grey Cup game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's strange. I think it's strange for all of us to have this week of the year turned into with no Grey Cup. And I know you've got some virtual stuff going on for the fans, which is fantastic. But it's been an opportunity for you to kind of speak to the fans after the canceled season. Let's just start with kind of the message that you're trying to get out to the folks who would normally be watching that game this weekend, who follow your league loyally in the nine different markets beyond those markets in Canada, and who are wondering about what the immediate future holds.
Yeah, well, you know, look, it's really a chance to kind of remind everybody during this time of year where we're also, you know, even a casual fan typically tunes in to kind of follow the Grey Cup week and leading up to the game. It's to remind them that we're, you know, we have plans to come back bigger and stronger and that you can't keep us down. And I think that's the message we started with on Monday. In fact, I felt like there was such a good omen waking up to that, to the news of a second vaccine. And I think it added credibility to the optimism. So it's just a reminder, hey, we're, you know, yes, we got knocked down, but it's our firm intention to get back up, which is one of the great things about sports and about football in particular.
Where are you right now in terms of relationship with the players? What's still, you know, let's blue sky this and say that things do fall into place and that there is a CFL season. What has to be done with the players right now, Randy?
You know, I just think, Jeff, that the relationship with the players always has to be a work in progress. I think it has to be, I personally, and I've talked with Brian Ramsey and Solomon Elminian many times about this. I think we have a chance to work together, kind of think about our relationship differently, a lot, maybe a less transactional type relationship, more of a holistic partnership of that would help us. I think, you know, some participation in the revenue growth is what I've asked and shared with Brian and Solomon. I get excited by it because I think it would create an alignment. But the best thing of all is we just have to just keep talking to each other. We have to find a better way to work together. You know, the crisis, of course, is the enemy. The players certainly aren't the enemy of the league, and I don't think the league is the enemy of the players. The virus was the enemy in this particular case, but emotions run high. I just think it's all about getting back together as much and as often as we can and finding our way to a better partnership.
Randy, before we, and I want to look ahead and talk more about that, but indulge me for a second. I just want to look, just look back a little bit at what's happened the last 6 months. You know, and Jeff and I have talked about this on the show, and I know people talked about it casually, but a lot of leagues, a bunch of different leagues found ways to continue to play this year in one form or another. Some of them with big TV contracts, some of them without big TV contracts, you know, everything from the NBA and the NHL in their bubbles to baseball outside the bubble, to the NFL outside the bubble, to leagues like the Canadian Premier League, you know, putting on games in PEI. The Canadian Elite Basketball League, you know, has no real television presence, but they managed to play games and just to stay on the map in these difficult circumstances in 2020. And look, I know as commissioner, you know, you're not the emperor here. It's not like you can just go poof, we're going to play. That's the decision of your member clubs. But you know, if somebody said, look, you guys didn't, everybody else played and you didn't play, and understanding that there are huge economic challenges to getting on the field in a bubble circumstance or any circumstance, understanding that you had the border to deal with, but that it really hurt the league that everybody else tried and, you know, put product out there and you guys didn't. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, first of all, Stephen, I voted yes to emperor status. So in case you're wondering how I cast my vote on that particular issue, yeah, look, I think what I would tell you that I've learned, guys, is that every business is different. Every league is different. Some of those leagues you're describing are very small, and there is an advantage to being very small. And remember, in those two cases, those very smalls you referred, you know, a very small number of players. And so good for them. They found a way. And I'm like, I admire what they did. The others are big, much bigger than we are. And I think part of the problem, and people will tell you in the business world, big and small have advantages. Medium is harder. I think we are medium sized, and it created a challenge for us. But Jeff, we can't ignore the criticism, because at some level, I think we should embrace it as a honest assessment that we couldn't get back on the field this season. But then you're faced with the inevitable choice. So what do? You can spend your time in a cocoon, feeling sorry for yourself, and do nothing. Or decide to do something about it, which is what we've done. We're looking at how do we reset the league on a much stronger foundation. We're doing a ton of really good work following the Winston Churchill never waste a crisis notion. And that's the only thing I know how to do. Because again, Stephen, I get it. We can easily find our way to, you've written a book on our league, on the Grey Cup. Books will be written on the COVID crisis. There'll be a chapter or two on our league in that, and we have to accept that we will get some criticism. I just think that the choice is to get back up off the mat and make sure that we play in 21 and beyond.
Randy, how closely are you following Masai Ujiri's bid to get the government to open the border, at least to the point where the Raptors would be allowed to play home games at Scotiabank Arena, even if it isn't in front of fans?
Well, I've been following I'm following the entire sports community because there's lessons to be learned from everywhere and what everyone is doing. You know, right now, that issue is... Look, I want to support my partners in the sports community, so I'm with him 100%. But you also would know, you know, it's November, and our training camps don't start till May. So for me, it's a little less of an acute issue in this moment. But obviously, I'm watching to see how government reacts to those requests, because you can learn things from that. But listen, anything that can get the sports world back up and running, get fans back in stadiums, I'm on board for all of it, because somehow, some way, it's going to help us in our quest to return and get this league to where we all want it to be.
So, okay, how do you say May is training camp would normally open in May, so that is, 6 months from now, essentially, right? A little more. I'd love to know how the world's going to be in 6 months, Randy, but I don't have a clue. How do you sketch this? Do you at some point say, okay, we're going to proceed as though it's going to be normal, and the training camp will open on this date, and we will be able to get players into the country from the United States, and the season will open on this date, and we will have fans in the stands, therefore we can make revenue projections? Are you going to have a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D? Jeff alluded to kind of working things, figuring things out with the players, which is obviously another element, but it's hard to do that unless you know some of the other stuff. So how do you plan, for 2021 in beyond saying this is the schedule we would like to play?
Yeah, Stephen, I think you're asking a very good question. As we've watched this all unfold, so I'll start with this. I think the last 3 weeks with the two vaccines, I think have been game-changing events. Obviously, in this moment, we're all suffering with, with this spike, this second wave that has hit the world. But I think if you just step back from that, the two vaccine announcements, I think, are big. So start there. I do believe something you said. Look, I think if you're planning for everything, you're planning for nothing. And what we have to do is we've really got to narrow the field now. So the next step for us is going to be a consultation with the chief medical officers in each of our six provinces that we play in, to really get a sense from them how they see the virus play out and how they see the vaccine introduction into society, how that plays out. we're going to take all six of those views and put them in a blender and see if we can't come up with an idea for when would be a time to think that our season would start. And it's got to meet three criteria: reasonable, rational, and credible. We'll use that as we'll put a dart there. We'll say, okay, we're going to plan to start then, and it's based on the best information we have today. And then, Stephen, the next thing is to make it scalable. So that is to say, no, it can't be based on everything is back to normal. I don't think that meets the standard of reasonable, rational, and credible. So maybe we pick a spot. Maybe we say it's 35 or 40 or 45% of capacity. Put a pin in that and be able to scale it with fewer or more fans as would be permitted. Be able to scale it in that you might play earlier or later as permitted. But I think we owe it to ourselves. Frankly, I feel like we owe it to the players. I feel like we owe it to our partners. And it'll be good for all of us if we say, okay, here's our plan. And as long as it's reasonable, rational, and credible, and as long as it's scalable, everyone will know we can adjust. But I'm excited now, and I'm really excited. Go back to the players. I really want to take something to the players to get them excited about 21, that we're going to work together to make sure that we can get back on the field and resume playing this game that we love so much. So, Stephen, I think that's how we do it now. But it would have been impossible to do that post-Pfizer or pre-Pfizer's announcement, because there were just way too many unknowns. I think we know more now, and that's going to allow us to take a more targeted approach to our planning efforts.
Now, one of the biggest differences between your league and other leagues is that you've got publicly owned teams. Like, how much flexibility do they have in terms of, again, especially if you have a limited... it's going to be hard projecting revenue in general. You know what your television revenue, if you can deliver your television inventory, you're going to get your television revenue. But if, you know, it's kind of a floating scale in terms of what your attendance, you know, your revenue from attendance and all of the things that go with that is going to be, you know, they can't just reach into their bank accounts in the same way that a private owner can. They can't borrow money the same way a private owner can. How is that does that become a limiting factor, Randy, in terms of that kind of planning and the scaling you're talking about?
Well, you know, each one of our three community teams are going through an exhaustive process of kind of looking at how they manage this return to play in 21. And I'm so excited to work with all of them and their boards, because they're filled with super smart people. And I think they will find a way, Stephen. In fact, I would say, we get a lot of leadership from our community teams. They have such resolve about their, it's three amazing markets. Winnipeg, Regina, on behalf of Saskatchewan and Edmonton have been three amazing franchises. So I have confidence that those boards will work through a process of figuring out how to get their team back on the field in 21. What I have to do, I've got to give them a path to follow. I've got to give them more specific details around a plan. If I can deliver reasonable, rational, and credible, they'll work their magic to make sure their teams are ready to respond to that plan. So it is about working together. I mean, look, this is it's a team sport, and at this moment, it's also a team business. Everyone's got to contribute to how we make it work.
Does government money have to be part of that scenario, especially with those publicly owned teams, Randy?
Well, you know, look, I, of course, you both know well that we had such enormous pressure, some of it self-imposed, that the government would be part of the solution. Look, I've said this week, you know, we are talking to government. But it's a different kind of conversation. It's sharing with them our plans. We're talking, you know, about some of the challenges, but it's being done in a very thoughtful, very constructive way. But, you know, what I'm not going to do, once bitten, twice shy, I can't make everything conditional on something. You have to solve, you know, we're going to look at to as many recipes as we can create for the solutions that can help get us back onto the field. And I don't think we want to put ourselves in a box that says X has to happen if for us to play. We took that path, and it was disappointing. It led to a disappointing outcome, Stephen. So I think we are going to try to be more flexible and look for as many different ways to solve that problem as possible. The best solution for this league is to get back to playing with fans in the stands. And of course, the most optimistic view is that we're going to see that happen in a big way in 21.